Okay, so today we're going to do the last part of Kriya Shema, Parshas Vayomer. Again, this year is Beschus, the safe return of the three boys who were kidnapped. So, according to some opinions, the inclusion of this Parsha in Kriya Shema is Doraisa. However, according to most poskim, is only Midrabanan, except for the reference to Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is fulfillment of the mitzvah say Doraisa, requiring one to remember this event once every day and every night. The Gemara states, Parsha Sitzis Mibnei Makav Uha, Amr Yehuda Bar Chaviva, Mnei Sheyeshba Chamisha Devarim, Mitzvah Sitzis, Yitzias Mitzrayim, All Mitzvos, Vidazminim, Hiravera, Vihiravo Dezor. There are five mitzvos in addition to Tzitzis in this Parsha, Yitzias Mitzrayim, as it says, Ani Hashem Lokechem, Asher Tzaisias Chamaritz Mitzrayim, All Mitzvos, as it says, Uzchartim is called Mitzvos Hashem, Dazminim, as it says, Losasurach Velavavchem, Hiravera, Vachre Nechem, and here of Odezara for Atem Zonim. Tzitzis is usually translated as fringes. It can also be related to the word of Metzitz, to look. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch explains, it's related to the word for flower, Tzitz, as in Tzitz Asada, as in last week's Parsha of Korach, as the Aaron's stick, Vayotze Perach, that the flowers and the Tzitz was there. And he explains that tzitzis sprouting from our clothing is an extension of the higher moral significance of clothing to the human being. Yesh mosar adam and abehema. Man's supremacy over animals lives in his ability to control his animal nature. While man has an animal body with all its desires and urges, he has the unique ability to control them. He even has the ability to elevate and sanctify these urges. By covering our bodies, we emphasize that our body is not the essence of our being. What makes the human being human is the neshama. So we cover the animal side of our personality, with the exception of the head, where our spiritual faculties are concentrated, and our hands, to which Hashem has given the power to control the world. However, we have tzitzis, which symbolizes an even higher moral calling, the acceptance of Hashem's mitzvos. So we go into the parasha and we say, V'yomer Hashem el Moshe lemer dabel bnei Yisrael v'mar talem sulam tzitzis al kanfei v'gdeim. The Jewish people ought to make tzitzis at the corners, the ends of their garments. This reflects the idea that with Derech Eretz, with which all of humanity is charged, ends, Al Kanfei V'gdeim, there the specifically Jewish mandate begins. Torah presupposes the highest form of human decency and dignity, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. But we as B'nai Yisrael are to make extensions of our clothing to symbolize our higher calling of V'yisem Kedoshim L'Elokim. We are told here, Losurach Elavavchem Echreinechem, not only are we not to act like an animal, but we are also not to think like an animal. So when we look at our tzitzis, we're reminded that our membership in Klal Yisrael through the acceptance of the mitzvos extends our humanity to a higher moral calling. The white strands represent the mitzvos losase, signifying freedom from sin, and the blue strands represent the mitzvos ase, the performance of the positive commandments. While the tzitzis have many knots and windings expressing the restrictions placed upon us by the mitzvos, nevertheless, two-thirds of the length of the tzitzis are free-flowing strands. Once our lives are controlled by the parameters of the mitzvos of Hashem, represented by the ksharim, by these knots, we have much more freedom than restrictions, enabling us to enjoy that which Hashem has given us in our lives. This is represented by the two-thirds length of the free-flowing strands. People feel restricted by the mitzvos. They want to be free and not bound by the requirements of halacha. They mistakenly feel that having no mitzvos will set them free, when actually nothing could be further from the truth. Ein lecha ben chorin, ela misha osik b'talmud Torah. One may feel free, one may feel that he gains independence by breaking completely free of all restrictions and restraints. But the restrictions are not here to make us feel restrained, but to give us the freedom we need to make the right choices and decisions in life. Despite the profound importance of the mitzvah of tzitzis, women are nevertheless exempt from it, because it's a mitzvah aseishes man groma. Women accomplish this higher moral symbolism of Jewish clothing through the concept of tznius. The wearing of modest clothing by women is the equivalent of a man wearing a talis with tzitzis. While men only accomplish the symbolism while wearing tzitzis, women accomplish it all the time. Based on this, Rav Hirsch explains, it says, v'asulam tzitzis, and they will make tzitzis for themselves, and not v'yasulahem tzitzis, and make tzitzis for yourselves. The meaning is, once you have explained to Klal Yisrael the great distinction and kedusha of wearing tzitzis, they will eagerly make tzitzis for themselves. And all three meanings of the word tzitzis that we mentioned are utilized in this parasha. V'asalem tzitzis al kanfei v'gdeim. This is the meaning of promoting, of something sprouting out of the corners of our garments, corresponding to the Jewish extension, again, of the concept of clothing. V'nosnu tzitzis akonav sildecheles. In this case, it means the fringes. And then v'hayolchem tzitzis or isim oso, and you shall see it, is the idea of looking at them. V'yosulem tzitzis al kanfei v'gdeim, l'dorosam v'nosnu tzitzis al hakonav psiltecheles. The tzitzis are composed of four doubled strands which are to be placed on each of the four corners of the garment. Two of these strands are to be white and two are to be blue tcheles. The Gemara tells us that tcheles and amakeves is a lovon. The blue does not hold back the white, and therefore we still wear tzitzis nowadays, even though we do not have tcheles. And Rosh Shimon Schwab points out that it says l'dorosam in connection to the mitzvah of tzitzis, and not in connection to the mitzvah of the tcheles. The Gemara tells us, "Hatcheles domo liyam, v'yam domo l'rakia, v'rakia domo l'kisei hakavod." There's a story told of a man coming to the Brisker Rav and questioning this Gemara. He said he can understand that looking at tcheles strands will remind him of the yam, which is blue, the yam of the rakia, which is blue, but how does looking at the rakia remind one of the kisei hakavod? And the Brisker Rav responded, "Do you understand? The man replied, "Yes, that makes much more sense." The Brisker Rav replied, "Where one's head is, he will understand. Yours is in the gutter, it's in the outside, so you understand Velosasuru. But if your head was in the right place, you would understand the above Gemara." V'ayolachem tzitzis, paraphrase this, means these are to be your tzitzis. Wear them all the time. They're to be yours, to be seen and held as your protection and lifeline against impure thoughts and impulses which may arise during the day. It's for this purpose that we wear al tals katan. The word lochem means the mitzvah tzitzis carries its special message for you, but it's only if you're wearing them. Uri semoso, zchartim is called mitzvos Hashem. The symbolism of the tzitzis, which reminds us of all of Hashem's mitzvos, lies in the way we knot the strands. The windings and the knots are to take up only one-third of their total length, and the remaining two-thirds are left to hang freely. The knots and windings, as we mentioned, represent the restrictions and obligations placed upon us by the Torah. They carry the message that our lives are guided and delineated by mitzvos Hashem. Nevertheless, the remaining two-thirds of the tzitzis strands represent the freedom we may enjoy once our lives are controlled by the mitzvah Hashem. After a person has accepted the restrictions and obligations placed upon him by the Torah, he is free to live his life in accordance with his own individual inclinations, to marry, earn his livelihood in accordance with his own individual abilities and tastes. People are free to live and enjoy the blessings which Hashem has bestowed upon them in their lives in the way which they deem appropriate to their own individual tastes. The blessings of Hashem, which we are free to enjoy, are far greater than the restrictions and obligations which the Torah places upon us. Urisim also, this is telling us that one must see his tzitzis, he has to check them before making the bracha on them. He needs to make sure that his tzitzis strands are intact to avoid a bracha levatola. The tzitzis remind us whose emissaries we are. By looking at them, we are reminded to do what is right and stay away from sin. Vasisim osam, remembering the mitzvot is insufficient if it does not lead to their actual fulfillment. Velosasuru achrei levavchem achrei nechem. Rashi says halei vahanayim hei miraglim leguf misarsim lo es haveros. The heart and eyes are the investigators for the body, and they solicit the sins for it. In other words, they look around, they receive a wrong impression of the world, similar to the miraglim who came to Eretz Yisrael and misinterpreted what they saw. And then, ha'ayin roeh, ha'lev chomeid, v'guf ose aveira, the eye sees, the heart desires, the body sins. Chazal tells us, levavchem refers to minus, heresy or apostasy, and einayim refers to hira aveira, znus. Asher atem zonim achreim, paraphrased, this means that if you follow the external impressions of your heart and eyes, you will eventually become zonim, unfaithful to Hashem. Moreover, this pasuk teaches us that unlike other aveiros, where the thought of possibly perpetrating a wrongful act is not punishable because the thought in itself is not an aveira, thoughts of znus and minus in and of themselves are aveiros. A violation of velosasurachei levavchem v'achreinechem is ipso facto an aveira. As soon as one allows himself thoughts of heresy or forbidden sexual relations, he immediately joins the zonim, those who are unfaithful to Hashem. L'man tizkeru v'asisim is called mitzvosai, Rosh Shimon Schwab says, in summary, the pasuk of v'losusurach v'levavchem v'achareinechem v'sharatem zonim v'achareyem warns us not to follow the external impressions which we receive when we're investigating our surroundings here on earth, whether this be in the area of minus or znus. And this commandment, which is a chovas halavavos, applies to all of us, men and women, at all times, and under all circumstances, as indicated by the pasuk, l'man tizkru v'asisem kol mitzvosai. We continue, v'yisem kedoshim l'elokeichem. The Torah here tells us that it is incumbent upon a person to continually elevate himself. After a person is born, his body and mind grow and develop until the maximum possible maturation. One's body usually stops growing at 18 or 20 years of age, and his intellectual capacity probably continues to develop for a few more years. But then all growth stops. However, as far as one's moral and ethical development is concerned, this is a lifelong process. Under the mandate of Yisem Kedoshim L'Olkechem, as long as Hashem gives one life, he is required to keep on elevating himself and come closer and closer to Hashem. The word Kedoshim means separated. We are to separate ourselves from what we were before and continually elevate ourselves to become more and more devoted to Hashem. Rav Shimon Schwab tells us that the ladder of which Yaakov Avinu saw in his dream actually represents the human personality. It starts off Sulam Mutzav Arza, and throughout the person's life, he has to climb upward, step by step, toward its zenith of Erosho Magia Hashem Aima. We then close out, we say, Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Tzeisi Etzchem, Eretz Mitzrayim, Lios Lachem Lelokim. By reciting this sentence, we fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every day and every night of our lives. Rashi, quoting the Sefri, says, Ani Hashem means Nemon L'Shalim Schar, which paraphrased means, you can rely on me to reward you for every good thought that you have, for every evil thought that you suppress, for every mitzvah that you do, for every kind deed that you perform, and for every unkind deed or word that you refrain from doing. On the other hand, Elokeichem is a reference to Nemon Li'Pora, I will punish you for your misdeeds. And then we say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. The repetition of this phrase at the end of this pasuk is of essence here. There are two ways in which Hashem relates to us. One is that of Giloy Shechina. The word Shechina comes from Shochein, which means closer neighbor. There were times in world history which will recur in the future in which Hashem showed his presence in the world through miraculous events, Nisim, the flows, Nevuah. The most outstanding example is the time period of Yetzias Mitzrayim through Matan Torah. It is the series of events to which the first part of this pasuk refers, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Tzeisi Etzchem Eretz Mitzrayim, Lios Lachem Le'Elokim. However, for most of world history, the relationship of Hashem with the world has been that of Olam Kiminhago Noheg. The world follows its natural order. It is during these times that the presence of Hashem is veiled or hidden. It is this latter relationship which is referred to by the repetition of Ani Hashem Elokeichem. He is telling us, although you may not be aware of my presence in your daily lives, nevertheless, I am the same God who related to you through the world-shaking Nisim and Aflos of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. The name Ani Hashem conveys the idea that Hashem is not some concept, idea, or philosophy, but rather He's an entity, the one and only one who can truly say Ani Ani Hu. I alone am I. I alone am the one personality whose absolutely free will controls every present and future moment of all existence in heaven and on earth. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch explains that the purpose of all the miraculous events which B'nai Yisrael experienced, starting from Yetzias Mitzrayim right through the end of the 40 years in the Midbar, was to impress upon them this idea of Ani Hashem. Therefore, while B'nai Yisrael were experiencing the miraculous events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, and his personal interventions in their lives during the 40 years, the personality of Hashem as Ani Hashem became quite clear to them. But with their anticipated transition to a normal life in Eretz Yisrael, where they would wake up in the morning and go about the ordinary routine of one's daily life, the presence of Hashem would not be so obvious. Therefore, the second Ani Hashem at the end of the pasuk teaches B'nai Yisrael to remember, I am just as present now in your normal and routine lives in Eretz Yisrael, although I choose now to veil my presence as I was during the miraculous experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the 40 years in the Midbar. Ani Hashem Elokeichem is immediately followed by the word Emes, which is actually the beginning of the next paragraph, and this is based on the halacha of Amar Reb Avohu, Amar Reb Yochanan, Halacha Reb Yehuda, the Amar Bein Elokeichem LeEmes, V'yatziv Lo Yafsik. One should not be mafsik between the word Elokeichem and the word Emes, so that it corresponds with the pasuk in Yirmiyahu of Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Emes, the Tzatz Chaim writes that when reciting Emes, one should have in mind that Emes is comprised of the last letters of the words Bara Elokim Lasos, connecting that the world was created with the Emes. Rav Mordechai Potash says one should have in mind that Hashem is first and last, and aside from Him there is no other God. And he says this is hinted through the word of Emes, because the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is the Aleph, The last is the Sof, with the Mem directly equidistant between the two. The last Rashi in Shalach explains that the eight strings at Tzitzis corresponds to the 8 days that the Jewish people waited from when they left Mitzrayim until they said Shira. The Gorari asks, we know they sang Shira on the seventh day. So he explains that the calculation began when Klal Yisrael slaughtered the Korban Pesach, which was the god of the Mitzrayim, and they were not able to protest. This was the beginning of our freedom. Technically, we may have still been in Mitzrayim, however, in essence, the Gula began. And Rabbi Chiel Sparrow says, this relates to us as well. We may feel as though our attempt to break free from the shackles of sin will be met with failure. But we need to remember that any attempt to control oneself from temptations, even though we may not be completely free from the enslavement of our Yetzirah, is a huge victory. And we'll close with the story and the homework. Leah would never have imagined that her headaches were a sign of something so serious. At first she had ignored them as she enjoyed the first few weeks with her newborn. However, when they became severe, she knew she had to see a doctor. It was a brain tumor. The devastating diagnosis turned her world upside down. First, she and her husband Zevi told their parents, who tried to sound strong for them but were clearly sobbing on the inside. Both sets of parents knew it was time for action. Leah's parents, the Brownlichs, took their new granddaughter into their home, thus allowing Leah and Zevi to deal with everything else that was facing them. The young couple needed to investigate treatments, hospital, doctors. It was also overwhelming and frightening. Leah's father spoke to someone who knew the great Askanim in Eretz Yisrael, Elimelech Fryer, and Benny Fisher. He explained the situation in detail and sent over the MRI results. The Askanim informed him that a hospital in Pittsburgh offered the best treatment for this type of tumor and referred him to an excellent doctor. Leah's father felt this was divinely ordained since he knew an excellent radiologist in that very same hospital. However, at the same time that Leah's father was investigating that hospital in Pittsburgh, Zevi's parents had sent the test results to a friend of theirs who suggested a different course of action, a hospital in Seattle that also specialized in this kind of tumor. Leah's father was hoping to have some clarity as to what the best course of action for his daughter would be. And now, all he had was a lot of confusion. He decided to go and seek the advice of his Rebbe. Pouring out his heart to his Rebbe, he explained the different possibilities. His Rebbe, however, told him he did not know which path was better. Leah's father knew that his children were waiting for an answer. He cannot go back home without one. Since his own parents were buried close by, he decided to go to the cemetery and daven there. As soon as he reached the Beis HaKvaros and walked up to their graves, he burst out crying, "Please, Mommy and Daddy, I need your help. Your granddaughter Leah has a tumor, which may need to be operated on. I don't know what to do or how we should proceed. We want to choose the right doctor, but we do not have a clear choice." Tears streamed down his face as he poured out his heart to his parents. He wished they were alive so he could speak to them directly, but this was all he had. "So I beg you, please go to the Kisei HaKavod, the heavenly throne, and ask Hashem to give me a sign directing me in the right way. Let me receive some hint as to which hospital to choose." After spending a while at their grave, sobbing and davening, he finally turned to go home. As he walked back to his car in order to leave the cemetery, his cell phone rang. He saw the calls from Benny Fisher and Eretz Yisrael. What the man told him was unbelievable. "I was thinking it over. I decided it would be better for you to go to Seattle. You'll see that with Hashem's help, her treatments will be successful over there." He thanked the man profusely and hung up the phone. He could not believe it. He had just finished davening at his parents' kvarim when the phone rang. He knew it was going to be a long road, but he also knew that he could tell his children that he knew where his parents were in Gan Eden, right next to the Kisei HaKavod, right next to Hashem. And as we always speak about that, if one really feels the davening and works on the davening and makes it mean something, you know, we see what one can accomplish through the davening. And as the homework, you know, to work at least once, as we say Vayomer twice a day, but at least once to concentrate on what we've spoken about as we say the Parsha. And in addition, you know, to take something from this last year and a half of the Vod, something in davening, whether it means coming on time, not talking, having more kavana somewhere, b'schus the three boys, that they should come home safely, quickly and safely, you know, can move worlds. And we see from all the stories and everything we do how much a tefillah that's really, you know, different, what it can really accomplish. And with that schus, the boys will come back safely.